Welcome back to Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry Committee. We're going to be discussing LD 133, an act to amend the laws regarding nuisance dogs, but we're going to start calling them noisy dogs.
133.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the bill proposed to amend the definition of nuisance dog to include a dog or wolf hybrid that disturbs the peace of an individual by excessive barking, howling, or yelping, and the individual is not trespassing on the dog owner or keeper's premises at the time of the excessive barking, et cetera. And then, so that's in section one of the bill. And in section two of the bill, it explicitly authorizes a person to file a written complaint to a sheriff, local law enforcement officer, or animal control officer if the person's peace has been disrupted by a dog that barks, et cetera. So this bill touched a nerve for sure. We got a lot of testimony on this. So one of the information requests was examples of municipal ordinances regulating barking dogs, and that's what's attached to the blue sheet. I just wanted to go over, so one of the concerns of opponents of the bill as it's drafted is that there's a current definition in Title VII of nuisance dog, and that I pasted it in on page two of the bill analysis. Currently, a nuisance dog, I'm just going to stick with dog. I won't talk with wolf hybrid. But a dog that causes bodily injury other than serious bodily injury to an individual or domesticated animal who is not trespassing. Two, a dog or that causes reasonable and a prudent person who is not on the dog owner's property and is acting in a reasonable and non-aggressive manner to fear bodily injury by assaulting or threatening to assault that individual or the individual's domesticated animal. And three, a dog that causes damage to property or crops not owned by the dog owner or keeper while the dog is not on the owner's property, essentially. So I think there was a concern of adding excessively barking dogs to this definition because maybe they felt it didn't sort of rise to the level of, you know, causing bodily harm or property damage, et cetera. I don't know if I even attached chapter 727. And in the criminal statutes, I did paste in the definitions of bodily injury and serious bodily injury. And I know Representative Pluker has a yellow amendment that the committee may want to consider.
Would you mind walking us through the amendment?
Sure. So Katie Lisnick, I always get her and Katie Hansberry confused, but Katie Lisnick, who is the chair of the Animal Welfare Advisory Committee, did send the committee forward the committee some information in an email. And I think this is somewhat the state of Tennessee has a pretty simple provision like this. It's basically, and I think it's drafted this way to make it distinctly different from nuisance dogs, which I think was a concern of those testifying in opposition. It's just establishing or a prohibition that, so it basically would prohibit an owner of a dog or wolf hybrid from allowing that dog to disturb the peace of an individual if the individual is not trespassing on the dog owner's property by loud and frequent barking, howling, or yelping for a period of more than 2 hours between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. You will also notice that the term excessive is not in there because that was another sort of feedback we heard from people who testified that that's a very subjective term. So not to speak for Representative Pluker, but having that kind of set time of 2 hours between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m., it's actually similar to some of the ordinances that you will see. But anyway, that's the gist of it. And in terms of a penalty, it would kind of just defer to the penalty for that part, the animal welfare part. So I don't know, maybe someone from the department can sort of
talk about that.
But it would just default to the general penalty for any violation of that part.
Do we have that in front of us, the penalty part?
No, I did not make copies, but I... Oh, right here. I can provide copies or I can read some of it. So
yeah, if you just read some of it.
So enforcement is in section 3909. So subsection 1 talks about the attorney general and district attorneys. So whenever a person has engaged in or is about to engage in an act or practice that constitute a violation of this part or rule, etc., the attorney general or district attorney at the request of the commissioner of ACF may institute proceedings before the district court or superior court for an order enjoining those acts or practices, an order directing compliance, or imposing a civil or criminal penalty or any combination of these actions. Subsection 2 talks about designated employees of the department. So for purposes of prosecution under this section, the commissioner may authorize humane agents and a state veterinarian who have been certified and serve civil violation processes against offenders pursuant to the main rules of civil procedure. The commissioner may authorize certified humane agents or a certified state veterinarian to represent the department and district court in prosecution of civil violations of these laws. A certified humane agent or a certified state veterinarian may seek civil penalties as provided by law, as well as a permanent or temporary injunction, restraining order, or other equitable relief as the court finds appropriate. And there is a provision about an animal welfare citation form. So that would be the default if you don't specify anything in this amendment.
Questions from the committee? Conversation. Do we like this idea? Do we not like this idea?
Thank you. I guess my question was, and I maybe you guys said it, does this, like the farm dog, is that not included? Like if a guy has cows, and how do we get around that? You know what I'm saying?
In current statute, is there a definition for working dogs?
There is an exemption for working dogs somewhere. But I'm not the subject matter expert. I don't know if there's anyone behind me who could talk about that. If you're willing to call them up.
Yeah, I think we do. You have to talk about it? Come on up. We'd like to call up the director of the Animal Welfare Program from the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry to the stand to give us her thoughts.
Thank you.
Jeez.
I know these chairs are awful.
Okay. Representative Pluker and members of the committee, my name is Rhonda Stesic. I am the director of the Animal Welfare Program at the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. I do have an opinion. So I do appreciate the removal from the previous chapter because we felt very strongly that it did not fit within what was being proposed. I have significant concerns about placing this within the enforcement of the state. First being, we do not have the resources. We have 6 district humane agents. We would probably need 4 times that number if we thought about adding something like noisy dogs. We currently have approximately 300 animal control officers, and they struggle to keep up with these things. To suggest that 6 district humane agents could add this to their current responsibilities is simply not realistic.
Representative Frost.
I guess the biggest question is, for me, is so we heard testimony from, you know, from, I guess it was probably the first one we heard, which, you know, it sounded like they were going through all the proper channels to try to get some help. from this, the dogs next door destroying their peace. So if we don't pass this bill, then could you tell us what options somebody like that might have?
I mean, I believe that what their options are civil with respect to dealing with the courts with a civil suit with respect to their neighbors. Different municipalities have very different ordinances. Many of them in Maine say that with noise or barking with respect to dogs, that the animal control officer or law enforcement may investigate those situations. And with my years in animal welfare, I would venture to guess, because that is necessitated by the practicality of these are neighbor disputes and they end up longstanding and ongoing. And, you know, in this particular situation, which at least one of the folks who spoke were quite familiar with, this has been ongoing since my arrival with emails and phone calls, et cetera, on a weekly basis with the dispute. And I don't know how they resolve that, but sending district humane agents out every time there's a call on this is not a practical solution either. It's simply undoable. We don't have the resources. I don't know that animal control has the resources to deal with that, or whether they're equipped to deal with a lot of the escalation that goes along with this. And that doesn't even talk about enforcement. Even if we had, you know, issued citations, et cetera, you then have to have a district attorney or the attorney general's office willing to proceed with those matters. And we strike resistance even with cruelty cases in getting them to move forward. And I would venture to guess this will be much lower on the list.
Yeah. Representative Cray.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think in some of the testimony that we heard was that a lot of the animal control officers don't feel that they have the right, the bite that they need.
Pardon no pun intended.
to do what they need to do. Do you believe this would help in making it so they have a more of a leg to go on?
I don't. And the reason I don't is because even when an animal control officer moves forward under the statutes that currently exist in other areas, as well as district humane agents, we then move them forward for district attorney's office or attorney general to proceed. And if they don't have the resources or consider those priorities, they don't get prosecuted anyway. And I actually think that heightens the frustration in the community, because there's something on the book saying it's wrong, and yet they can't get relief even when someone else has said, yeah, we agree with you. We think that's a problem. I think resources are limited all around at every level of this. I don't think this is a solution. I don't know what the solution is. I'm not suggesting I have a solution.
In light of the fact that we don't see a solution, I'm open to conversation about killing or ONTPing this bill. Representative Frost?
I'd like to make a motion, ought not to pass.
Second it.
All right. Ought not to pass for 133. Representative Cooper?
Yes.
Representative Cooper, yes. Representative Cray?
Yay.
Representative Cray, yes. Representative Jackson?
Yay.
Representative Jackson, yes. Senator Black?
Yes.
Senator Black, yes. Representative Plueker?
Yes.
Representative Plueker, yes. Representative Jarrett?
Yes.
Representative Jarrett, yes. Representative Frost?
Yes.
Representative Frost, yes. We have 7 yeses, and then we have Representative Hepler, Representative Dill, Senator Talbot Ross, Senator Ingerson, and Representative Bunker absent.
Thank you very much. So that was 7 yes, and unanimous 5 of those present. Don't you leave me. I need quorum.
Okay, I'm just going to see it. I can see till 3:45 if Dana can go see it.
Okay.